Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the third broadcast of the SexRx Show with Michaela. Tonight's show is called Creating More Sexual Intimacy with Dr. Stacey Friedman. And before I get going, I just wanted to give recognition to us being on Blog Talk Radio and U.S. Weed Channel Cannabis Radio Station. And also, I wanted to let the listeners know, we definitely are taking calls in if you'd like, but we're going to be doing it towards the end of the show, and we'll also remind you at that time. But the guest call-in number is 646-668-2372. So let me give you a little bit of idea of what the show is going to be about tonight. It's about, do you want more sexual intimacy in your life, whether it's just for yourself or with a partner, but you don't know how? Well, don't despair. The good news is Dr. Stacey Friedman joins the show today to share her knowledge and some tools to help you along your journey. What you love about her is the fun and positive approach that Dr. Stacey takes when helping educate others and finding and creating their passion as well. Dr. Stacey Friedman is a clinical sexologist and certified sex coach, having received her doctorate in human sexuality and obtaining her master's in clinical sexology. She also has her BA in psychology, along with being a registered diagnostic medical sonographer and vascular sonographer as well. Dr. Stacey's coaching is designed to work with women and men of any sexual orientation or gender to address their concerns about sexuality, sexual function, and sexual expression. So welcome, Dr. Stacey. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be on the call.
Me too. It's been a while coming, just planning for this. I appreciate you taking
yes,
time
definitely.
Tonight. So first off, I just want to start off, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners how you got into your field and why you're so passionate about helping others with this.
Well, growing up, since I was younger, I've always been very open-minded. I've always enjoyed just talking about sex and relationships and just being myself. And it started from as young as I can remember through high school. I was never the type of person that necessarily cared what people thought just because I appreciated people just being themselves. And people felt very comfortable just coming up to me and talking and knowing that I didn't judge anybody from what they had said. So as I grew up, I had gone to college, and I actually got my psychology degree when I got to college because I wanted to work with people and wanted to help people, and it was just, I seemed to be a magnet for people to come and talk to. I guess they felt that they can trust me, they can open up to me. Once I had my own kids, I decided to do something on the side because I got my degree for doing ultrasound, so I've been doing that for many years, but I wanted something a little bit more fun, and sex was fun, so I had decided to do those adult romance parties, and I've been doing those for 13 years. Kind of took a little bit of a break while I was getting all my doctorate and all that kind of stuff, but I just felt that it was very important for people. I noticed that people really knew little about sex because you get educated on so many different things in your life in school, but no one teaches you about sex. And a lot of people had a lot of negativity towards it. And I just feel that relationships need that positive aspect of sexuality and the communication part of sexuality. So I just had this passion of teaching people something that a lot of people were uncomfortable to talk about, that I was very open to talk about. And I wanted to make the change and have people realize how important it was in a relationship. So after I started doing all those adult parties and was, you know, number one salesperson, and everyone was just saying how it was very educational as well, I just kept on thinking, I got to do something more. And that's when I just continued my education to be where I am here today.
Love it. And I think that's so great. You know, before I delve into the, I got a good amount of other questions for our listeners tonight, but just to kind of go back, you know, you said you were like this at a young age already. Did you grow up in a household that had that open communication about sex? Was it a healthy upbringing in that regards or what?
I definitely had a healthy upbringing. I think I was more sexual than my parents were wanting me to be, as far as being open-minded, but they never kept me from being who I was and expressing what I wanted to express, and I think that they had allowed me to just be who I was and myself without judging me as well. And so I think that that was very helpful to have a family life that was open and being able to talk to my parents about things if I needed to. So I think that definitely helped.
Yeah, I agree. That is good. Definitely. I definitely didn't. I had the opposite. And, you know, and
right.
You know, you learn later on in life, if you're lucky, even what that means to yourself. You know, the show tonight is really highlighting intimacy. And I wanted to see if you could touch on the kind of intimacy that maybe we're discussing tonight and how people can create more of that.
There are so many ways. There's actually the differences when people say, well, how do you create more sex or how do you create more intimacy? There's definitely a difference, but the two go hand in hand. And a lot of times when you're in a relationship, people, they'll say they want more sex, but it's not necessarily about the sex because the intimacy will create more sex. Of course, sometimes you want a quick romp in the sack, and that's nothing wrong with that. But the intimacy is what really keeps the connection going so the sex can be, you know, amazing. When you're with your partner, intimacy for me, and I feel that it's very important, is to have that vulnerability with your partner because that allows you to be able to communicate, to be able to express your needs, to be able to feel that closeness with your partner, to be able to have that good sex. I think it's very important to have a lot of contact. You know, everybody needs different things. And I think what intimacy really needs to be within a relationship is what your partner needs to feel loved. And it could be something like, you know, holding hands or, you know, just having a real kiss every once in a while. You know, sometimes I'll ask some of my clients, well, when was the last time that you guys just sat there and gave each other a hug? Not a quick, like, hi, honey, you know, hug and kiss and then leave. Just sat there and had like a 10 to 20 second hug. Or when was the last time you just stopped and just had a nice, passionate kiss? And a lot of these clients say, I can't even remember. So when you lose that connection, that intimacy, that takes away from your sex. So some of the things to be able to do to increase that intimacy would be to try to hold hands a little more, to try to kiss a little more, look into each other's eyes. I think that, you know, it might sound cliche, but that the saying of the eyes, what is it, the saying of the eyes to the soul? I'm losing
right. Are the window of the soul, yep.
The window of the soul, yes. That is true, because when you can sit there and stare in each other's eyes and really feel each other deeper, that will help bring a connection. There's so many different things. I mean, put yourself on a date, go in the hot tub, spice these things up by getting maybe a new piece of lingerie, try, you know, to maybe bring a toy into a bedroom. Go back to basics from when people start dating. You can be in a 10-year relationship and, you know, people complain that we don't have intimacy anymore. But what are you doing now that you stopped doing when you dated? You know, did the man stop bringing the woman flowers? Did the woman stop telling the man how much she appreciated him? Did they stop working together in the home? There's a book called The 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I think it's an amazing book. Have you ever heard of it?
I have, and it's so interesting that we all have our different ways that we show that, you know?
Exactly. I mean, there's some people feel loved by receiving gifts. Some people are physical touch. Some are acts of service. Then they have the words of affirmation, quality time. So for people that are not sure how their partner really needs to feel loved, that book is really a great book. And I recommend it a lot to my clients because you might think, oh, well, I'm giving this person all my love and my hugs and my attention, but really that person wants something more of a gift or just words of affirmation. They're not a physical touch. So when you're trying to be intimate with somebody, it's extremely important to find out what makes your partner tick and what is intimacy for your partner. And then that way you can communicate and be able to make changes in your relationship to move forward and be more intimate.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because, you know, once people grasp that concept, you know, that book shares, I mean, it seems like the craziest thing, but it actually can be simple to, you know, actually apply and change a lot of things for the better. I wanted to touch on the communication part, though. Like, for example, say some, you know, a couple's been together 5, 10 years, whatever, but they've been together a while and they just don't feel comfortable addressing what their needs. Like, do you have any suggestions for those people that are out there that have just never put themselves in that position yet to finally step up and say, hey, like, how would they break the ice?
Well, it's actually very, very common because you could sit there and you could talk about the bills and the houses and the kids and anything else in the world to talk about. But the fact that something might be wrong in someone's sexual relationship, it's very difficult for some people to talk about because people don't like to either admit that something is wrong or that they're failing in a certain aspect. But like I had said before about people not being taught, no one is teaching you how to have sex and how to have a sexual relationship. So what I suggest for people if they want to try to open up the lines of communication is sometimes you can get a book together. Just say that, let's say you're in a situation where you're able to at least acknowledge that something is wrong. Go to the library, go to a bookstore, and just look up books, and that way you could sit there sometimes and read a book together. So that way you almost don't have to speak word for word, but if you're looking at it in a book, it's not as, you know, damaging to the ego for some people. I think doing it when you are not in the middle of trying to have sex and you have a problem and then you want to talk about it, it's best to say, you know, do it in an environment, not in the bedroom, because the bedroom should be for the affection, the love, the intimacy, the sex. You want to keep any of those types of conversations away from the bedroom. You want to do it in the kitchen, in the, you know, living room or whatever. Go out for a nice date, go to the beach, and be able to talk to each other about your dreams and start small. Just say, well, where do you see our relationship? Where do you see our sex life? You know what? I really want to have the best sex that I could have with you, the best intimacy. What are some things that we can try? So without putting it out there that this relationship sucks, the sex is terrible, what can I do next? Instead of putting it in the negative spin, put a positive spin and just say, I love you, I'm so happy with you, what can we do to make this even better? And so, what, you know, it's been a while since we've spoken. What turns you on? What are some fun things we could try? And make it positive.
Okay, so that's great. So here's another question. Okay, so say you cross that line and you guys are opening up, and say your partner says some stuff that you're like, oh my God, I don't want to ever do that, or vice versa. You tell them what you want, and they're like, no, hell no. So, like, then what do you do then? Like, you just divorce them, you know?
Not everybody can get their fantasies and their desires fulfilled by a partner because everybody has their own thing. But, you know, one thing that I do as a coach is help people communicate their needs back and forth to each other in a safe environment so they don't feel like, because not everybody knows how to communicate properly when it comes to sex. And if, let's say, I bring this up because, for instance, a man might say, oh, I would love to have a threesome, you know, and the woman might be like, oh my God, he doesn't love me, he doesn't want me, he doesn't desire me, he wants someone else, what if he falls? And all of a sudden this woman's you know, head is going crazy. So sometimes the guy would be like, well, I don't want to sit there and tell her this because then she might feel upset and that, you know, I want to betray her and I don't. So a lot of times it's safe to be able to have the partners just say, I'm telling you some of the things that I'm thinking about, and not saying that we have to do anything, but let's see what we can get out of it. See, you know, maybe we can watch a porn movie of a threesome, and that might turn him on, and that might be enough for him. So sometimes it's difficult, and not everyone is willing to listen, and that's why a lot of times people will come and just want to be able to express themselves with someone else like me or there to help the communication process.
I love that answer for that. Okay, so speaking of which, you know, you kind of touched on like the whole threesome thing. And so my next question already was I wanted to touch on alternative lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get into some other stuff, but I want to address that first and foremost right now, especially for people that are in like, I guess, traditional relationships, whether, you know, just being monogamous or what, you know, and when you hear that, there's, you know, they really, I don't know, have a kind of a bastardized view of that kind of lifestyle. And I wanted, you are, you know, this is your field, and you've worked with people like that. What do you have to say about alternative lifestyles?
Alternative lifestyles can be very tricky if not gone about the proper way, especially if you are already in a monogamous, typical, you know, I don't want to say typical, but monogamous relationship. It really... The one thing is that I've dabbled in that. I've been one thing that I feel that makes me understand a lot of people is that I've had a lot of experiences through my own life that has helped me understand a lot of these situations to help others. And the one thing that I've learned with the lifestyle is that it takes a lot of trust, maturity, communication, and just the ability to understand that not everybody is going to meet one, not one person can meet all of your needs. And for some people, they thrive on variety or they crave attention. And let's say their partner may not give them as much attention, but yet everything else in their life is great and they enjoy that extra little attention, but they go home, they love their partner. It is possible, whether it be a swinging relationship or a polyamorous relationship. Now, the difference between the two, if people don't know what they are, is that when you're in a swinging relationship, you usually have your couple, you and your partner, and you go into, whether it be another couple or another person, you have a situation where it's pretty much more about sex as opposed to falling in love. And then the polyamorous relationship is when you actually have your main couple and then you're bringing people into your relationship that you're able to fall in love with. It doesn't have to be, you know, it could be the member of the same sex, different sex, whatever it is. And I think that when people look at those alternative lifestyles, a lot of times they think, oh, it's just an excuse to cheat or it's just this or just that, when in reality, sometimes that brings the bond even closer because of how much trust and communication it takes to be in that type of relationship. Does that make sense?
I agree on that. Yes, it does. I myself had a little dabble in there, and I will say, you know, you're right, it can work for some people, but it's not something to, like, save a relationship, you know,
no.
So it can backfire. And, you know, some of those, you know, swinging situations, I've talked to couples that have done it. And for some of them, you know, maybe they're not in love, but, like, they have developed solid friendships with some of these people, you know, and it becomes, like, ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it can be a beautiful thing. You know, I don't want to touch too much on, like, spirituality, but the reason I bring it up is, you know, a lot of people, when you hear about these other, you know, sexuality ways of going, you know, they think about, oh, goodness, you know, depending on your religion or their spiritual belief, it's
right.
Like, oh, my gosh, you're going to be damned to hell and all this stuff, and it's a sin and da-da-da. So, I mean, have you had to address that with your clients that maybe had inner turmoil about their wants and whatever because of that?
The religious aspect is very difficult when you're dealing with sexuality. And I'm not a judgmental person, and if it's something that in your religion is important to you, it's difficult sometimes to get people to get out of that mindset. But the way I look at sexuality is that you were blessed with a body that is able to feel pleasure. And if you are able to enjoy yourself on your own or with a partner when you're in a committed relationship, or if you are in a consenting, I don't mean committed, I meant consenting relationship. For people that are very religious, they say, well, you have your man and your woman, and you are only with those people for life, but that's not reality. You know, not everybody is that way. And there's men, there's women, there's transgender, there's you know, people who are that don't go to by any gender. I mean, there's so many things that people need to be a little bit more open to just be happy and love and enjoy. And if it's something that is enriching your life and enhancing your life, I believe that it's something that people should enjoy. But like you said, it's definitely not something that you should try to do when you are not in a good relationship to think, oh, maybe this will help. You need a solid foundation to be able to get into any of those alternative lifestyles, because otherwise you're trying to make something out of nothing, and then it's going to backfire.
Right.
So a lot of times I'll tell
from
people,
the beginning.
Exactly. I said, you know, if people are interested in trying it, I try to get people in and say, these are the pros, these are the cons. I understand it. I've been there. I've seen it. I know what could happen, what may not happen, and help them figure it out on their own what's best for them as a couple, because it's something, like you said, you just don't want to just dive into.
Right.
But it can really improve. Yeah, it can really improve a relationship, and it could almost make you more in love with your partner because you see that trust and that communication that it really needs, and it really opens up a whole different line of communication.
Yes, and it can be a beautiful thing if it's worked on, and like you said, that it's clear and communicated and all of that good stuff. Well, another
right.
thing I want to touch on is because you do work with people of, you know, various sexual orientations, and I think that's something that's very important nowadays, because there's so many terms that I'm not even up to date with anymore. Like, I'm you know, as I, like, you know, this show is brand new, you know, obviously for me doing,
right.
and, you know, I'm doing my research and looking up, and I'm like, I thought I knew somebody. I'm like, what is this? And so I want to see if you could just share with the listeners a little bit of some of this terminology and any of your thoughts that you might have behind that.
Boy, I can't even keep up with the terminology. I think every day I go back online or I learn about a different word or a name, and I'm just like, oh my God, you know, I'm in the field and I can't even keep up. But that just goes to show you that the diversity in this world and the different people that are truly out there. It's not just something that someone's coming out and say, oh, well, now all of a sudden it's here. No, it's been around for many years, but it hasn't necessarily been recognized as something that's valid. And a lot of people can't understand it. And, you know, what I try to express to others, because a lot of my friends or people that I know, and they ask me a lot of questions about this, and they say, how do you make sense of it all? And the way I look at it, I said, you know what, it's not my place to make sense of it. It's my place to accept people for who they are and who they want to be and love them if they're a good person. So if it's not affecting me as far as, I mean, how is it going to affect me? I mean, I love who I love. So that's love. We're not talking about hate. We're talking about love. And these people that are lesbians or bisexuals, gay, I mean, the whole gamut of the LGBTQIA, whatever letter is on there, all these different things, it's really all about loving people and being true to themselves. And I think it's so important nowadays to allow people to just be who they are.
Yes.
It's not a disease. It's not a, you know, something that people can get. You know, it's just people wanting to express themselves the way they are. And why can't we allow people to do that? Does that make sense?
I know. You know, I've read up on stuff where they used to, you know, I don't know if they still try to do it now, but they back in the day, they thought they could cure people of their, you know, being bisexual
sexuality.
Or whatever. And it's just, yeah, and it's just like, oh my goodness, and the kind of treatments they gave to people. But, I mean, just all of that stuff, I just think it's a huge thing to, you know, like you said,
well,
the bottom line is love ourselves and love each other and just be accepting and non-judgmental.
Exactly. And when I was doing my doctorate program and I had written a paper on, you know, different things, I learned a lot through what the transgender especially have to go through and the surgeries and all this kind of stuff. It's not something to take lightly. This is not something that someone just wakes up and says, you know what, I want to be cool now and I'm going to be calling myself transgender. It's something that they truly feel in their soul who they are. And I try to ask people, I said, well, when did you know that you were a girl? You know, it's just, you know, someone who's cisgender, which means born a female and presents as a female, or vice versa, a male presenting as a male. When did you know you were a girl or a guy? I don't know. I always knew. Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that these people always knew inside how they felt, but yet society and their body told them something different. So there is definitely a disconnect from the body to the genitals. And so it's very confusing for people that don't understand. And I don't want to compare it to cancer, but I'm going to say, God forbid someone has cancer. You can't understand what's going on in that person's body. You can't understand how they feel. You can't understand what they're thinking in their head about life and death, you know, because the way they feel inside, you can't
right.
imagine unless you're going through the same thing. You can't imagine
agreed,
the pain and the suffering. Exactly. And the only reason why I say it that way is because a lot of these people, this is a matter of life and death for them, being who they are. And for people to judge somebody who's going through this, they can't unless they're going through it the same. And I just believe that people need to allow people to be who they are and not judge them. Try to understand. Be open-minded and try to understand. If you can't understand, it's okay. You're not going to understand everything. But at least just accept that they're being who they are.
Right, and leave them be if you're not hurting anybody. And they truly aren't hurting anybody except for your
no.
preconceived notions and programming, you know. And it's just another form of prejudice. And, you
right.
know, which is, we don't need any of that. And I don't know, I just wanted to say, I mean, now that I'm doing the research and meeting guests like yourself, you know, I'm so thankful that there's people out there doing your work. Because, you know, when I had to cross this bridge back in the day with my spouse at the time,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have anybody in the area that I could talk to. Like, I mean, we did go to a counselor, coach, psychologist, but they had no background in this at
right.
all. So it's like, how could you talk to them when they have never studied on it, never been a part of it, had experience?
Right.
And I was like, it was so awkward to be able to do that. So I think it's a blessing to have somebody like you out there doing this. We've got about 18 minutes. We're still good. I just want to make sure I get, you know, the most questions that we can get out of tonight.
Sure.
There's so much we can talk about. Here's another important thing that I think people that you help with is sexual dysfunction issues. And can you give some of those examples of those dysfunctions that you help with?
Sure. I work with any aspect of sexuality, but a lot
okay.
of the times that people have dysfunctions, it would be, let's say for the men example, they might have erectile dysfunctions, early ejaculation, any type of sexual trauma. Some people don't even necessarily have to have a dysfunction. They can have, you know, they can get out of a divorce and new to the dating scene and just not really sure about their skills as a lover. And then for women, a lot of women, I mean, men have decreased sex drives as well, but not as common as women. But women, more of their sexual dysfunction would be a decreased sex drive, pre-orgasmic, primary and secondary, which just means that they've, with a pre-orgasmic primary, which means they've never had an orgasm before and are not really sure how to be able to achieve one. But pre-orgasmic secondary is when they've actually had them, but it's only when they're doing them themselves and not with a partner. So sometimes I help with things like that for people to help get more comfortable with their bodies. Women that have dyspareunia, which is painful sex, vaginismus, sometimes the muscle closes and we have to kind of teach them how to relax their mind and their body because everything kind of works together. And the same
mm-hmm.
type of things with them, you know, as far as body image, dating skills, things like that. And especially people that are trying to get pregnant and trying to be able to have intimacy and sex when they're going through, you know, oh, you have to have sex this time and this time. And, you know, that's sometimes can cause some dysfunction for the men because they have to perform on command, and dysfunction for the women because they can't get lubricated enough. So those are some of the things that we work on together with people.
Okay, great. Yeah, so with the whole, I never even had heard of that word pre-orgasmic, whether it's primary or secondary, but what I was going to say, is that for women more of a mental reason why they do
that? A lot of it is a mental reason. I have not met, I don't want to say I have not met, but I've talked to a lot of people that are sexologists, and they have told me that they've really never met someone who has not been able to have an orgasm unless there's some medical issue where there's some nerve damage. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they either are not comfortable with their body, have not masturbated. I mean, that's something you got to do, women. You got to get out there. You got to know your body. Because if you don't know your body, how are you going to be able to help your partner know your body? You know, it's not your partner's job to make you orgasm. You have to know your own body. So that's very important. But a lot of it does have the mental and the physical connection. And I help with people trying to figure out where their block is, you know, what's blocking them from being able to do that.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that kind of brings me back to, like, in the beginning, because we talked about the intimacy with our partners. So speaking of what we're just going with right now, how can people have more intimacy with themselves and get more comfortable with themselves and their bodies and exploring?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Like Nike says, just do it. No. It's, you know, it's not something that some people are very comfortable with, and I've spoken to some people that say, oh, I've never done that, I never will, it grosses me out or whatever. But this is your body. You should be able to not be afraid to touch your body and to learn about your body and how it works and what makes you tick. And, of course, it's not going to feel the same as you doing it as a partner. But I think it's very important in a sexual relationship if you are not having orgasms. I speak to a lot of people that fake their orgasms because they don't really know how to have one. And so I try to just help people relax, open up their mind, be able to, it's a process. If people have never, ever touched themselves, it's a process to be able to have them do that. But get a little bullet, a vibrating silver bullet, you know, something that they can use if maybe they're uncomfortable with their actual hands touching. A toy would be very helpful. And just have a quiet time, go into the bathtub or put a little porn on or just relax and just feel around. Start slow and see what areas are more sensitive and then just work it up from there.
Great advice. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, so here's another thing. You know, this show is all about sexual wellness. And so is there any advice that you could give the listeners on how to, you know, give more healthier and a fun sex life to, you know?
Oh, for a healthier and fun sex life, I think that, first of all, everyone is busy, 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 and there's always an excuse. Seriously, there's always an excuse that you can't do it. It is something that, you know, like you have to pay bills, you have to clean your house, you have to do your dishes. You have to have sex with your partner. It's very, very important for the health of your relationship and the health for yourself. I mean, having orgasms and having sex is very, very good. The excuse, I have a headache, is not a good excuse. I'm sorry, women, I have to be on the men's side for this one. Having a headache, an orgasm, gets rid of your headache. It's really, really good for a headache. So, but what I suggest is put it on the calendar. If you're busy, set it up, even if you have to. You know, not everyone has that desire at first. So sometimes you need to build that desire and just start doing it, and it eventually starts coming up and feeling better, and then you start getting into it. I think that variety is very important for a healthy sex life and a fun sex life. You know, go get a fun game, bring it into the bedroom, change different positions. You know, you can't have the monotony of the same thing over and over again. Do some type of role play, you know, go to a bar and have your partner pretend that they're trying to pick you up and buy you a drink and talk like you were when you were just meeting each other. Sometimes you could even go to a sex club. You don't have to be a swinger or in alternative lifestyles to enjoy a sex club. You can just go and watch people and feel the eroticism that the music and the people bring out in you and your partner. So trying different things are very, very important. And like I was talking about just a minute ago with the orgasm situation, know your body. You can have a much healthier and fun sex life when you know what you like and you're able to communicate it to your partner. So that way you could be like a little more to the right, a little more to the left, or, oh, that's kind of a little too sensitive. You know, they don't know. They're not feeling what you're feeling. So those are a few tips that I think, and I think variety is one of the most important things. You can't just do the same thing over and over again, because then it's just like the touch is not as sensitive. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, you know, I think that's so true. Like, you need to help them. Even if you feel corny or stupid about it, just do it, because then you'll be happier in the long run, because you're getting what you want. They're feeling like they're the
exactly.
shit, you know? Like, I mean, it's
exactly.
win-win all the way around, you know? And then, like, the whole
it's supposed to be fun.
Variety. Yes. Well, I thought about the variety. I'm just thinking, well, okay, everybody, some people really love pizza, but dang it, if you eat pizza every day, you're going to get sick of it. So that's what I was
right.
thinking when you talked about that. I want to mention to the listeners, we've got 10 minutes to go here. So this is the time if you want to call in, talk to Dr. Stacy. It's your time now. And the phone number again, it's 646-668-2372. But while we're waiting, Dr. Stacy, and see who wants to call in and talk to you, is there,
sure.
okay, here's the thing. We both have kids, and I think, you know, one of the things I wanted to address, even though it's not for kids show, but like, you know, to the parents that are out there, how would you coach parents on discussing sexuality with their children?
Well, I think that the age groups are important, too, to be able to know the differences in the age groups. But the conversation really needs to start in preschool, where you're naming body parts, and kids need to know that it's okay to say penis and vagina and vulva and things like that. They need to know what the real private parts are, so that way they are not afraid of the words as they get older. The more that you talk with your kids, the easier it's going to get. So that way, when you do get to a point, when you're having these little small chats, you get to an older age where they're, you know, in high school, and they're able to come to you knowing that they have an open relationship to be able to speak about sex. But, you know, everything just needs to be a little bit basic. Keep it simple as you're going through. You know, when they ask, how's a baby made? Just say, well, you need a part from a man and a part from a woman, and you put them together and it makes a baby. You know, you could do something like that when they're younger. But when they start getting towards, like, puberty, 8 and 9, it's important that they need to know what's going to happen to their body. And if you don't feel comfortable
right.
doing it, get them a book. You know, get them something that they can read, but let them know, you know, by that time you've already spoken about some things. They want to know, what's going on? Why do I have this bump on my breast? Or why am I getting these wetness by, you know, my erections? And they don't know what an erection is at that time. So I think it's important to just consistently do little by little, and as they start asking, answer them. Don't say you're too young. Give them a simple answer if you feel that they might be a little too young for it. And honestly, they're not going to take in what they're not ready for.
True. And, you know, regardless, they're going to get this information one way or another. I mean, unless
and
they're
better from you.
Homeschooled and not mm-hmm. taken from the internet. You're right, because they're either going to get it
better
from
media
from or their friends. And so, yeah, I agree on that part. Another thought, do you have, what is your hopes? I mean, your world is around sexuality plus the other endeavors, but, like, what are your hopes for our world, you know, with healing, through, you know, as sexuality as being a form of healing for our world?
I want our world to become more tolerant of differences and more accepting of change, and understanding that things are coming out now more so than before because we are becoming more tolerant of others' differences. And I think that just because someone is different or loves someone that you might feel is inappropriate, it's love. It's not hate. And that's what we have to remember, is that you're putting love into the universe just because you're appreciating somebody for who they are on the inside and not what gender or sexual orientation they are. And that's what I hope to see as going forward, a much more sex-positive culture and not having it so taboo.
Agreed. Thank you, Dr. Stacy. Well, last but not least, I wanted to see if there's anything that you wanted to share with our listeners or promote before we get going.
Sure. I mean, my website is drstacy.org. It's drstacy.org. I do have a whole bunch of fun goodies and toys and fun games and things that you can use to enhance your relationship. If anyone is ever interested and they tell me that they've heard my show with your on your show, they've heard me, they can go on there, they can contact me, they can get 25% off the retail price of anything that they want in the store there. I also offer free 15-minute consults, and if you decide to work with me together to make a difference in your relationship, excuse me, I would give you the first coaching session for 50% off. I do coaching on Skype and phone, and if you're local in Florida, in South Florida, I do have offices as well. And, you know, what I try to get people to do is look at your life now and look at it tomorrow. Is there anything that's going, if you don't take action today, what's your tomorrow going to be look like? You want to be able to make sure that you're getting attention and help now before you have to get to a point where you're spending money on a divorce. It's very important to work on your relationship. So I think that the coaching is important. I want to be able to offer that so it's definitely financially available for most people. So 50% off the first session, free 15-minute consult to make sure that coaching is right for you, and then the discount on all the products.
Awesome. Thank you so much for offering that for the listeners. I wanted to know, I don't know if this works for like with the being a, you know, a sex therapist, anything like that. Do you guys take any insurances at all?
Well, I do not, and the reason why is because I am not a therapist. I am not working with processing emotional trauma in the mind. It's
okay.
More about
mm-hmm.
coaching and helping people get to where they need to go right away. Usually coaching is a shorter commitment than therapy because people are
mm-hmm.
usually in a healthier situation, and they just want to get results. They want to get results fast. So, yeah, and then also with insurance, everything is labeled and you have a diagnosis, and, you know, we don't work like that as coaches. So even though
all those labels,
right, even though I'm a doctor in the field of sexology, of sexuality, sexologists are not taking insurance.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, one thing I love is the fact that even though it's great that you're offering it local, but that you can do Skype and phone, you know,
definitely.
For people that are wherever they're at. That's so great. And I like how you really made that stick about, you know, do they rather spend money on a divorce or something else when they could be putting that money to good use to benefit their life. And it's like, be proactive instead of reactive. So just thank you so much
exactly.
for all the information that you shared tonight. I really felt your passion. And I think the listeners did too.
I love it. I write a lot of articles as well, so they're welcome to go to my website and put their email in for updates. And I also have a Facebook page under Dr. Stacy Sex Coach, so they can get some fun articles from others and just some tidbits and information and tips and all that.
Nice. That is so great. Dr. Stacy, thank you so much for all that you do for everybody in the world. That's truly being in service. So thank you so much. And just you have a good rest of your night.
And thank you for having me. I appreciated talking with everyone.
Most welcome. Everyone, you heard it right here on the SexRx Show with Michaela. With that, you guys take care. Have a great rest of your week. Big, big hugs.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.